The opinions expressed in this podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University.
Random disclaimer.
By listening to Rollum Radio, you are subject to spoilers on any of the movies discussed. If you're not looking for candid reviews, take out those earbuds and tune back in when you watch this week's film.
Welcome
to Rollum Radio. Welcome back to Rollum Radio. We're your hosts, Mia, Maggie, Rania, Emma, and Liv. Throughout today's episode, we're going to introduce you to our film of the week, picked by yours truly, give you some of our thoughts, and get into that rating. Released in 2017, The Shape of Water, directed by Guillermo del Toro, is a peculiar fantasy romance film starring Sally Hawkins, Doug Jones, Octavia Spencer, and Michael Shannon. Set in 1962 Baltimore, the film follows a mute cleaning lady, Eliza Esposito, who works in a top-secret government lab. After coming into contact with the lab's newest clandestine subject, a mysterious amphibian man, they develop an unlikely relationship. Given the creature's mystical and coveted abilities, government agent Strickland is determined to keep them apart, forcing Eliza to risk her life in pursuit of love. I'd like to note that this film won 4 Oscars in 2018 for Best Score, Production Design, Director, and Best Picture.
Clock it. So why do you like the film and where did you discover it?
Yeah, so I like this film. I really like this film, which is why I chose it. And so I discovered it actually on a random morning in October of last year. I couldn't sleep, which is really abnormal for me. And I woke up and I was like, it's 5 a.m. I'm going to watch a movie. And I was like, let me watch Shape of Water. I've never seen it. And so, yeah, I picked it for that reason. And I really like it because it's a very movie. Everything about it feels cinematic to me.
It is a very movie.
So, yeah, what did you guys think?
I didn't think it was a bad movie. I thought it was a little bit on the bestiality side. Mm. Maybe not so humane.
That's all you thought
Freaky
of the movie?
With a top.
I thought it was beautiful. I thought the story was really good. Yeah. I love the character. What's her name?
Eliza. Yeah.
I loved her. And yeah, I'll speak more on my thoughts later.
Yeah, we're listening in.
I really liked it. I thought it was a really cool modern fairy tale. And I haven't seen a lot of films that I can say were like it.
Mm.
And it gave me kind of an odd feeling.
Yeah.
Like it moved me.
I really liked this movie. I watched it the first time, I think right when it came out.
Oh,
I
want to say for some nice.
We didn't watch the full thing, but we watched like scenes and clips of it. I think it's for like one of my
cinephile.
It definitely is like definitely one of like those weird freaky movies. Mm. I don't know, similar to Frankenstein, you could say, you know, same plot.
Sure.
I think that The Shape of Water was his tester film for Frankenstein because he says that Frankenstein was always the movie he wanted to make. So I feel like The Shape of Water was him testing the water, should I say, for Frankenstein.
Yeah, I was thinking about it when I watched him. Like, he definitely has an obsession with women loving a weird creature. I didn't know Guillermo del Toro was freaky like that. So that's all I'll say.
I think maybe he shouldn't be allowed to own fish.
Yeah, maybe no fish, no like sewing equipment to make anything.
Sure. All right, let's get into our first category.
Now it's time for the real reviews. Welcome to Rollum Ratings.
It's time to roll out the ratings. Let's get into it. Storytelling, audio visuals, iconography, and personal beef. Our first category is storytelling. This covers writing, pacing, plot, and character. All right, so I'll start off with this category. I really enjoyed the storytelling. It's the kind of movie that immerses you in the world of the characters from the jump. I think the characters are all really distinct. You know, Eliza, she's an orphan, and so she's always been a loner. Her neighbor, Giles, he's also always been alone. And then her best friend, Zelda, is a black woman and working class in 1962 Baltimore. So she's also bound to feel alone. So, like, everyone has their own story and their own battles that they're facing, but they all have this like kind of outcast essence about them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that, to me, like that really comes through in all the characters, which is what makes an interesting story because you are able to care about all of them.
Picking up on what I said in the beginning, I definitely like the kind of fairy tale angle. I feel like a lot of films these days, I think we have more of a departure like that. Like, there's more of a focus on, and that's not entirely true, but I think there is more of a focus on, like, kind of grittiness and realism, and I think that this film is trying to be the opposite of that,
mm-hmm.
which I really enjoyed. And I really love what you said about kind of all the characters are alone in their own way. I mm-hmm. think that that's, I think even more than the love story, gives the film a lot of its like heart and, yeah. and why it's so moving.
Definitely.
And I just wanted to go before there's an argument as far as whether or not she was a fish to begin with.
This is a hot take that we've heard.
It's not a theory. It's a fact. Oh. And Eliza, well, spoilers, it, she's a fish from the beginning. She is found on the ocean or found on the side of the lake.
By the
she
river,
was
yeah.
born with scars on her neck,
literally
gills, and she is an orphan, no parents. So
exactly. It's a cover-up.
This I is true.
Oh, my God.
It's a cover. Okay. My take on this, on the hot take, is that it's also a fan theory, actually. You guys have said this, and I did look it up to fact-check it. It is a fan theory that Eliza is a fish. Hey. I think it's interesting. I don't think that's what's happening, though. Why? Because I think that that would defeat the purpose of the story. If she was part of his world, there wouldn't be, you know, like, I think the whole concept is that they're so two completely different individuals that are brought together in an unlikely way.
I just think there's too many coincidences for the, like, he seems...
Like, girl, cuts on the neck.
He's not going to write this film with anything that's unintentional. And even if he maybe didn't say it, I think it's definitely kind of implied.
I think it's symbolism, though.
Okay, but symbolism can be coincidence as
it's
well.
Too it's too in like, your face.
Agree to disagree. Does anyone have anything to say about the plot or the pacing?
I think the plot is great. Okay. I think it's really good. I think it's unique. Yeah. I think the storytelling's great. Del Toro, great director. I think he can bring a story... particularly to life. I think if he sees it a way, he'll make it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know, like, we have our own struggles when we make our own stuff, but, like,
yeah.
he really brings a vision, to like, a script to life.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's, like, the storytelling, the pauses, like, huh.
It's all intentional.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. The sequencing and stuff reminded me, have any of you guys seen Amelie?
No, yes, I have not.
Yes. It reminded me a little bit of that, in a good way. Yeah, the characters I really loved... especially having her mute, you can do so much with the character development just solely by, like, expression and action, which I think he really played along with, and I think that was really cool.
I didn't, like, necessarily love... like, I wasn't the biggest fan of the storytelling. Mm-hmm. It was definitely a tiny bit weaker than in terms of, like, compared to, like, the visuals.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say predictable, because it's not like, oh, I guessed exactly what would happen. I just feel like it followed a very... linear, like, this is gonna happen, and you kind of knew. Like, I feel like in a way that it kind of reads as a children's book to me, and I'll explain what I mean, is that, like, every character doesn't feel like fully fleshed out. They feel like one-dimensional, but I feel like the purpose of that is that it's like kind of like a children's story in a way, where things are, like, simplified for like a fairy tale, fantastical, for how, like, kids understand it, right? We have this very family-friendly kids movie tone, but at the same time we have this explicit content that's happening. I'm like, they're not really lining up.
Yeah,
right. And it's like, why does it feel like a Disney movie? And then she's doing that with the fish. So I'm like, I guess that's the vibe. I guess that's the vibe. But I just didn't get that. And then the romance subplot. It didn't resonate with me at all. I'm like, why is she in love with that fish?
Okay.
Like, I understand their connection.
Yeah.
I just wasn't feeling the romance that much.
Yeah. All right, let's get into these ratings.
All right, I'll start it off first with a solid 3.5. Love how she had a gay husband or roommate or whatever.
That was not her husband.
Yeah, right?
I liked the story, but I didn't love it. So... I'll also give it a 3.5.
Okay.
And you know what? Since I'm here, I'll do the same. Sorry, what? Mia.
That's okay. I didn't make the movie.
I'm sorry. You know what? Can I do a 3.8?
Sure.
Yeah. You know, go crazy. Happy today.
Yeah, go crazy.
I'll give it a 3.
Okay. I'm going to give it a 4.
And that brings the total score for the storytelling in The Shape of Water to a 3.6. Rounded.
Woo!
Let's move on to audio visuals. This covers cinematography, music, costumes, and the film's general aesthetic. Who's up?
I really enjoyed it visually. They had such deep colors. And the creature itself was honestly so stunning.
Yeah.
Like, the way it moved, the way its gills moved.
Shout out VFX. Yeah.
Shout out VFX and that guy that was in that suit. And I gotta bring up that scene where they're dancing and she's singing, and it's just
wholesome.
Like, it was beautiful. It was really visually beautiful.
Very cinematic.
Here.
Very.
I completely agree with Liv. I thought this film was really beautiful. the colors, the production design, the cinematography. It reminded me, I don't know if you guys have seen, they made a TV adaptation of a series of unfortunate events.
Oh, yes. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. Yes.
It totally reminded me of that in the way that. It looked and the way that they did the blocking and everything like that.
And the peculiarity a little bit.
Yeah. Yes. Just how it was all kind of, it felt like reality, but in an alternate dimension.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say something on the sound as well. I love the soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
The theme, all the songs that they picked for the soundtrack, I just thought everything worked really well and it made the movie feel a lot more rich.
So obviously, the visuals were stunning. Mm-hmm. They were very grand, kind of what you expect from Guillermo del Toro.
Mm.
And now, don't want to be a negative Nancy in a world full of Sunshine Sallys, but
well, hey.
I'm never the biggest fan of, like, even in Frankenstein, I felt like it all feels like it looks like a video game to me. Like, it kind of feels like artificial. But what I'll say is you can't deny the mastery and the skill in it.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I'm going to put personal feelings aside because it was very well done.
Beautiful.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Like, even though I'm saying, like, not my cup of tea, but it's a strong cup of tea. So,
yeah. Period.
And then score wise,
yep.
Probably out of the four that we've seen, best score, probably the only prominent score.
That scene in the, sorry to cut everyone off, but that scene, like the underwater scene where they're, you know, was just beautiful. Seeing a bathroom like that just completely underwater and they're floating is just beautiful.
It's beautiful.
I have to give this a little bit of a moment. So, you know, what's it called? In Star Wars, Jabba the Hutt, you know, he has his little like den.
Yes.
His den. And that's exactly like the whole like bathtub area feels like to me. Like it's like that cool tone of the creature.
Yes.
Jabba the Hutt.
Yes.
You know, kind of cool tone too. And the warm kind of lighting, the little bit of orange. Mm-hmm. It literally reminds me exactly of that. Sorry, I'm always coming every week with the references, but sure. Anyways, let me continue. I think the cinematography is beautiful. Yeah. I think everything was shot so well. Like there's definitely a lot of planning going into it. But I don't know. I think it was great. Like, there really isn't any more comments to say about it.
So I'll wrap us up. I'm going to mention something that no one really mentioned. No one brought this up. We have to talk about how everything is green. Everything is green. His mints are green. Her uniform is green. Her apartment is green. The lighting is green. The key lime pie is green. The lockers are green. Everything is green. And I think that that's beautiful. Like, it has such a signature color. The Amphibian Man is green. Like, the movie, it has a signature color, and you see it in everything. And so the aesthetic is so strong and visually striking. Like, I just thought that was beautiful. And also because green can symbolize so many different things. Like, it can symbolize nature. It can symbolize fortune. It can also symbolize envy. So you kind of see, like, a little bit of all of those things represented through the color green. And then, of course, the score. I live for a good score.
Yeah.
Alexandre Desplat. This score, that's the composer of this movie. This score is phenomenal. Some of his best work. And he has a lot of amazing scores. But I think that it's so powerful that you can have music that tells a story without needing the visuals. I guarantee you, if you went home and you listened to the score, you can almost imagine like what's happening in the scene. And it kind of like feels like water. There's mystery in it. You get aspects of like, there's a little bit of romance. I just think it's all there. And that really helped tell the story. So yeah, audio visuals, phenomenal. Yeah, chef's kiss. Let's get into the rating, shall we? I'm gonna start off with a 5.55.
Woo. I'll give it a 4. No, 4 is low. 4.3, boom.
Okay.
I'll give it a 4.9.
Period.
I'll give it a 4.4.
All right.
I will give it a 4.7.
That brings the total score for the audio visuals in this movie to a 4.7.
All right.
Yay.
That's on tea. Now for the trivial categories. Iconography. How quotable is it? Is there an iconic character, actor, or director? How camp is it?
I'll go first.
She was itching for that.
This is when I'm going to talk about my very close personal relationships.
Oh my God.
Dios mio. Mon Dieu.
With both Guillermo del Toro and Octavia Spencer.
His name she can remember.
You please.
She's met them both once.
Right.
So I'm going to start with Octavia Spencer. I think she's great in this movie.
Yeah.
Her eyes, love it. Just wide as hell all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I will like to say that Mia continuously compared it to Emma.
Yes, because Emma has wide eyes sometimes. No. You have big eyes.
No, I'm just expressive.
Yeah, you use your eyes for expression, and so did she in this movie. That's all I said. I was like,
thank
that
you.
Might be
honestly, that's a compliment. Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, it is.
And I don't, I've never met her, but I have her signature in my house, so she's my best friend.
So
she wrote this really bad children's book like 10 years ago, and I have it.
And I saw Jacob Elordi at TIFF. So, boom, we're best friends
too. It's called Ninja Spy or something. I don't know.
You know, a fake fan.
Anyway, and Guillermo del Toro, I've met several times, and we're best friends. Bestie. He always says,
I bet you have his phone number, and he's getting you a job in Hollywood too, right?
Yep.
Hollywood calling.
He said on several occasions to me, thank you. Oh, and
can we mute her?
That's deep.
And I don't like this table.
Yeah, Ronnie just hit
and
that cough button.
Can you sit me somewhere else? Because my two best friends are in this movie, I have to say that the icon level is very high because these are my besties. So,
yes. So I'm going to be so honest. I don't think this is a high score for me.
That's okay.
I think it's like in this category, I just don't think anything stands out to me. Mm. Like there's no quote I'll bring up for this movie. There's no like, I wouldn't have the film still as like my background. You know, it's just like, it doesn't stick out to me in that sense. Yeah. But I think like the writing's good, everything like that. It's just like, sorry. I don't know.
Yeah, that's fine.
I feel like because we had comedy movies for all the other ones, that's why we were able to be like, oh, this is iconic, this is funny, like this is not a comedy movie, so it's harder to say. I agree with Emma that it's not going to be very high in iconography for me, but one scene, and I think we've already mentioned it before, two scenes that are very beautiful and very iconic, and I think that will be remembered forever in terms of cinematography, are both of the submerged in water scenes. Mm-hmm. Like, one is the bathroom scene. I thought that was such, like I said, jaw drop. Like, that was so beautiful, so gorgeous, fantastic. And then the end scene where they're like floating away, kind of like that.
Beautiful.
Both of them, iconic. So beautiful. And I think it's iconic in the sense that they will be remembered for a long time.
Guys, I don't know what you guys are talking about. Eliza is the most iconic girl I've ever seen in my entire life.
She is.
Girl, her the water drains out. She's got her arms, she's wrapped in the arms of this amphibian, looking at her friend, being like, yeah, we just did this. I'm like, girl, that one look alone, I was like,
she is a girl boss.
She is the girl boss.
She fought for what she wanted.
Yeah. And then, hey guys, did we all forget about the scene where she's leaving and she's spelling "fuck you" to the guy?
Yeah.
In sign language, and Octavia's like, no, she's saying thank you. She's saying thank you, and she starts doing the motion.
You know what?
That was iconic.
Yes, that was iconic. I think she's iconic.
That's it. I'm gonna bring up something pretty basic, guys. This movie was shot and filmed in Toronto. That's iconic.
Was it really?
I forgot about
this movie
that.
Was filmed in Toronto. Yes. So one of the scenes where they're at the movie theater that they live above, for context, live above a movie theater in the movie, is actually Massey Hall.
Massey Hall, I just saw that.
Look at that.
Is it really?
Yeah, look. So you can actually see like...
Is it really?
My bestie did that.
University of Toronto, Scarborough.
Yeah, University of Toronto, Scarborough. And the Elgin and Winter Garden Theaters on Yonge and Queen Street.
Oh.
So I think that's really iconic.
That is. I didn't know that.
And I think, I guarantee if you watched it now, just look at the streetcar lines. That's Toronto. Let's get into these ratings. I will start us off with a 4.5.
I'm going next. Okay. It's a 1.
Oh, wow.
Sorry.
I want to talk about Mother. You know what? I rate too high on everything, so I'm going to be realistic. Yeah. It's a 1.
That's okay if that's what you feel.
Period.
I'm going to give it a 3. So 1 for the film itself, 1 for Guillermo, and 1 for my bestie, Octavia.
Eliza is Mother, 3.2.
2.5, and for that very iconic scene in the water.
Guys, do I sound like him?
Okay, so that brings the total score for iconography to a 2.84.
That's interesting.
Cricket.
Finally, personal beef score. What just irritated the hell out of you? Justified or not?
Okay. I'm going first because Ronnie is currently pointing at me.
Okay.
I don't really have personal beef, but at the same time, it's like, girl, why are you touching this poor little fish? Like, no beef, but a little bit of beef. Mm. So maybe like kind of beef.
Sure.
That's it.
Right.
Yeah, I would say that justified I don't have any beef with this movie. It made me feel really weird after watching it. Like, I was in a weird mood.
Yeah.
But it wasn't because I was, like, weirded out by the fish or anything. Because, again, I was, like, just seeing it from, like, a very fairy tale perspective. So I was kind of like, well, whatever. But it just made the whole film experience afterwards, I was in a weird mood. So that's, like, my unjustified beef is that I liked it and it obviously moved me, which is why I was in the weird mood, but I was just in a weird mood afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, yeah, I feel the same way. Honestly, that's why I liked the movie, because it made me feel something. Like, I also felt weird after I watched it. But I actually like that, because I prefer to feel something than feel nothing after watching a movie. And I, like, actually thought about it.
It's very deep.
So, yeah, I really agree with you on that, Maggie. I didn't really have beef with this. Justified is, like, Strickland is a nasty man who refused to wash his hands and then would continue to eat his little mints throughout the movie. That beef, because you're weird and gross.
I was going to say the same thing. I hate that guy. That guy alone, I, like, actually, it made the movie a little bit unenjoyable for me. And I know you're supposed to hate him and whatever, but, like, of course you hate your family. Of course you hate your wife. Of course you hate your kids. Like, of course you're just an evil person altogether. And of course you want the baddie. Of course you want Eliza the icon, the baddie, the mother, right?
Even though I understand why it happened, I guess this is unjustified beef. It's just, like, everyone felt one-dimensional. And I feel like the characters are kind of there to support her story. Like, we have this extremely villainous guy, and his only character trait is villain. Like, there's nothing about him other than villain. Mm-hmm. And then we have this best friend who literally supports her through everything, and, like, yes, period, but also it's, like, her only character trait is support main character. Mm-hmm. That's, I don't know, like, that's just what I felt.
I'll set up the rating. I'll give it a 3.9 because I didn't really have beef.
I'm going to give it a 5 because I have no beef.
I'll give it a 3.
I'll give it a 2.12. I was in the 2.12, but actually 2.12.
I'll give it a 3.5.
And that brings the total score for the personal beef category to a 3.5.
Okay.
Yay.
That's actually, like, if you think about it, it's, like, high.
And that's a wrap on Roll'em Ratings. The scores are in, folks. Now it's time for
the final rating.
Now it's time for the final rating.
That brings the total score for Mia's film, The Shape of Water, to a 3.7.
Wow. Woo!
What I just found out is that The Shape of Water is rated 3.7 on Letterboxd. We have done it again.
We are the sample. Altogether, was it worth the watch?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1.
Yes.
Yes, I think so. It's been on my watch list for a long time, so I'm glad I got it.
It's just a good watch, you know? Like, I think it's really referenced with a lot of stuff.
Right.
But I think it's a good watch. I think it's cute. It's a cute movie.
It's cute. Entertaining.
It's
cute.
It's beautiful. It's inspirational. Worth the watch.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys liked it. All right, let's roll the dice and find out who's up next week. Oh, I wonder who.
Goody. Oh, boy.
So there is only one person remaining right now.
We're going to roll the dice anyway. Emma, what's your pick?
Okay, guys, I put a lot of hard thinking into this, so I'm going to do Mid-90s by director.
Wait, that's
You already read it. Shocking. Guess who directs it?
Jonah Hill!
Yep,
Jonah Hill.
I love you, Jonah Hill. I love that movie. I love the movie. It's the best movie ever. You guys are going to be in awe.
Have you guys watched it?
I haven't seen it.
Mia is going to relate to you. It's from L.A.
You think Mia is going to relate to Mid-90s?
No. Have you seen it?
I have.
Not at all.
It's been a while,
but it's from your area.
Wow. I'm excited.
Your postal
I guess we'll
code
find out.
Or what, your zip code.
Black, pink, in your area.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone, for joining in. Tune in next week for our review of Emma's film pick, Mid-90s. We hope you enjoyed this week's episode, and I'll leave you with a brief quote that sums up the movie. Unable to perceive the shape of you, I find you all around me. Your presence fills my eyes with your love. It humbles my heart, for you are everywhere.
She's talking about a fish, by the way.
Beautiful quote.
It was a beautiful quote.
Did she say that?
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye, loves.
Bye.
See you next week, all.
Tune in.
Tune in.
Yeah.